First, I'm so thankful that God called me, not because I deserved it. In fact, when he called me, I was at the lowest point of my life. And I had come to the conclusion that I had forfeited all the benefits of God. I grew up, I was spirit-filled by the age of 12, was doing real good in high school, but when they set me off in my freedom for college, I said, Lord, I'm just going to experiment a little bit, so just don't let me die during this season. And then that season grew into a decade, and before I knew it, I was so lost, I didn't think I could ever get back. And I remember crying out to God saying that it's too late for your plan for my life. And it's not your fault. I know it's my fault, but it's too late. And isn't it funny, right when I started telling God it was too late is when he told me I was going to be a minister. Wow. That's when he told me, you know what, I think I can use you. Why? Because with man it's impossible, but with God it's impossible. Sometimes God needs to let us run to come to the conclusion that it's impossible. He needs to let us get to the end of ourselves so that it has to be God now. So if anybody here finds themselves at the end of you, the Bible says you're in a great spot. Amen. And that's where faith opens a door for you that no man can shut. Amen? Amen? So I just want to encourage you, nothing is impossible with God. We believe that around here. So I give God my first shout out, who called me out of darkness into the marvelous light, set my feet on straight street, and gave me the strength to fight. Amen. He gave me a song that angels can't sing, Glory, Hallelujah, I've been redeemed. Did you know the angels never got redeemed? They've always been saved. But for us, we fell. We were walking as enemies of God in our own carnal thinking and doing. But God came to us and saved us. And so if there's any creature ever made by God on the planet that should praise him, it's the redeemed. You were redeemed. You had fallen, and nothing in your own good works or thoughts or doing could possibly reconcile what you were doing. But God so loved the world that he gave. So my first shout out to God. You know that this church is 22 years old. It started with Apostle Jesse and Linda Rainwater, my parents. Let me give them a shout out, who are doing great work in Lincoln County, Davenport. Building not only a prayer chapel, but a fellowship hall. There's going to be cabins around. We're going to be able to go do retreats there. There's going to be an ongoing word of God in that community. And I'm so thankful for God starting something through vision. I want you to know that God will start things in your life by the seed of a vision. And he'll show you something that's impossible with where you're at. But one of the things that I have come to the conclusion with God, he is a pro-vision God. And so he'll give you the vision before you have the resources to accomplish it. So that the vision has to require God to be able to accomplish it. So if you ever get a vision from God and you look around and say, I don't got the people, I don't got the help, I don't got the money, stop right there. The only thing you need to know first is, do I have the vision? If this came from God, then he is pro-vision. He's provider of vision. Amen? And so my parents move forward in provision. They believe in impossible things. And I love that about them. I got to give a shout out to the Wenatchee Church and all those in the neighboring areas. I have to give a shout out to Arondo, because we have some of our very faithful members come from Arondo. And when I said that I received apples from Wenatchee the other day, she corrected me and said those apples were from Arondo. So let's make sure we give Arondo the due it deserves. I want to give a shout out to Texas, Louisiana. There's somebody special listening in West Seattle, and you know who you are. Just want to say thank you for listening and remind the congregation here, keep in prayer those that you don't see. We have people that are connected by faith to this word, and I know God's word can travel. Jesus sent a word into someone's house, and it healed them. He never physically went there. What he was saying, if my word can get there, it can blossom. It can happen. So I'm believing that God's word is going to blossom in our lives today. Amen. Let me give a shout out to our ministry staff. If you're part of this ministry staff, would you stand up? I want to see our ministry team. Where are they at? There's one, two, three. There's more, but they're probably around the building doing things. And, you know, it's October is Pastor Appreciation Month, but it's also Clergy Month. So I want us to make sure that we recognize those that labor around the house of God for us. There's no way we could do what we do without all the help that God has sent us. Amen. So I'm so thankful. Amen. So let's make sure we recognize our ministry team. And if you ever need something and I'm not available, I want you to know these are licensed and ready to move in the things that God has for you. You need prayer? These ones can break through in prayer for you. You need wisdom? They should be full of it. So praise the Lord to our ministry team. Thank you very much. And also, if you're a guest in this place, would you just raise your hand if this is your first time here? We just want to recognize you. Thank you so much for being with us today. We recognize you. Thank you. Jesus says that in his Father's house, there's many mansions. Yeah. Means that there's room for everybody. Amen. And so we're thankful that you're here. God makes room in his body for anybody that wants to come be part of his body. Is that right? Amen. And so we just welcome you in this place. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's done. He's Alpha and Omega. And we have access to him. We believe in being spirit-filled here on the earth, but yet having the spirit of children of God. Amen? Can you believe that he would fill us with his spirit? Amen. Who is man that God is mindful of us? But we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told Nicodemus, if you're not born of water and of spirit, you can't even see this kingdom I'm talking about. And so I'm so excited for those that are going to go down in the water in Jesus' name. And we're believing for the spirit also. Well, God is good. Should I get into the message? I have a great message for you. God gave me a message for you, and if you are here physically or you are listening and your ears are tuned in, that means God sent this message for you. You have to see it like that, that it wasn't just a message he gave me. He gave me a message because he knew who would hear it. And the Bible says, let those who have an ear hear what the Spirit is saying. And so God is going to speak today, and here's what I love about God. He can have one message, but touch each individual personally. So this message is corporate, but it's also very personal. Amen?
Amen.
I call it faithful.
Amen.
Two words, faithful. Wow. So often we think faithful means that, you know, you always do the right thing and that you don't quit. And that is true. But God wants us to learn how to redirect what we think about being faithful to being full of faith. And faith is not the confidence in anything born of this earth or born of this world. Faith only comes from above. And God wants us to live a life full of what's born from above to deal with the world in which we're in. Jesus, before he left, he told his disciples, I'm leaving, and I'm going to leave you here on purpose. And he prayed to the Father and said, Father, that they would be in the world, but not of the world, so that your glory can be seen through them in a world of darkness. So therefore, we are the lights of the world, even though there's darkness all around. So I'm going to really try to break down for you faith and walking by faith. Because most of us, if you say, are you a Christian? You say, yeah. Okay, have you been walking in faith? Yeah. But I want you to know that there are ways to be able to qualify walking in faith. Walking in faith doesn't mean walking in what you believe. Walking in faith means walking in what he believes. It's different. It's different. So a lot of times somebody will say they're trying to do something in faith, but the idea was born on the earth. The thought came from the earth, and then they're trying to believe it, and they believe believing in something hard enough is faith, and that's not it. It might be faith, but it's not Christian faith. It's not faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You don't come up with thoughts and ideas. I've heard many Christians say, well, I just don't think God really cares about that. Well, just so you know, he is a person. We can ask him rather than speak for. We can find out what he thinks about that. Matter of fact, he's probably already told us. Why don't we find out what he said about it?
Amen.
And then that will dissolve all conflicts in the body of Christ. Because if he said it, can we all agree? Right? So the Bible says that a house divided cannot stand, where there is division, two visions. So being full of faith, there's only one vision, and it's his. He's already cast the vision. He's already given the vision. He already has the plan. The Bible says that it's already recorded in heaven everything that has been and will be. And when we come into the agreement that it's already recorded, then our faith gives us access to be on the right side of what's recorded. You ever heard you want to be on the right side of history? You want to be on the right side of history? Well, trust me, you want to be on the right side of the Word of God.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example, because the Word's going to be true regardless of what you do.
Right.
The Word is true. I'll give you an example. The Lord speaking to Pharaoh, who stood on the earth as the king of the earth. He had the greatest empire on the earth, and every other nation in the world knew of him and recognized him as the greatest nation on the planet and had fear for him as a god. So Pharaoh was full of pride on the earth. He's the greatest man on the earth. And God sends him a little stuttering guy to say, God said to let all the slaves, the Hebrew slaves, free, because those are his people. And Pharaoh's pride built up into him, not believing it's already recorded, it's going to be done, I'm giving you the opportunity to hear and to agree with me. But if you don't agree with me, I'm still going to do it. And so we know that he had 10 different opportunities, which he chose not to follow what God said, but instead was going to follow what he had come up with on the earth. Ultimately, he let the people go, only to go back on his word, which makes him immediately show his true colors. God is not a man that he should lie. If God ever says it, it's guaranteed. If he said it 2,000 years ago and you can find out he said it, it's good today. Anything you can find out that's been revealed to you that God has said, you can have that. That's faithful. We're going to get into that. So anyhow, Pharaoh pursues God's people who God is leading. And they come to a Red Sea. They come into an impossible situation. Anybody ever been in an impossible situation?
Yeah.
And the devil's right behind you. And the Lord did something amazing. The Lord went quiet when they got to the Red Sea. You ever had God get quiet on you? So Moses speaks to the people who are fearful, and they're asking Moses, why did you bring us way out here? Now we're going to die. It would have been nice to die at home. Yeah, I was comfortable home. Let me die sleeping in my bed, you know, not out here. Ultimately, Moses calls on God, and God says, Moses, why are you crying out to me? Didn't I already say? What did I already give you? I already gave it to you. You are going to have to reach forward with your hand and part this sea. I already told you I would deliver you, and you've come into a situation where you started doubting how it's possible. But you don't know that the portion I gave you, when it comes up against something impossible, we'll call that impossible thing a liar. This is not impossible. And so it took Moses to believe what God said, and it had to be his hand, and it was Moses' faith, trusting that God had given him the right, and it was Moses' hand. Moses parted the Red Sea by faith. God didn't do it, Moses did it. And some of us are waiting for God to part our seas as we stand there, and God is sitting there silent. Well, what did I already tell you? What did I already give you? The Bible says that Pharaoh came and continued to pursue him until he was eaten up or taken under in the Red Sea when the waters came back together. And so God had told him from the beginning, I'm going to get my glory by delivering my people. And I'm either going to get my glory because you're going to bow a knee and you're going to bow before the Lord, or I'm going to get my glory because I'll make you bow. And Pharaoh gave God glory when he died in the Red Sea, because it proved God right and true. Everything I said, it's already done. Now, those that were traveling with God by faith and obedience, it was a blessing to them. But to those who stood against it, it was hurtful and harmful. So which side are you on?
Wow.
Are you full of faith? And everybody said, you can talk back to me here.
Amen.
I'm used to it. I got 4 kids and a Hungarian wife. That was a joke. She's not full Hungarian. Would you open your Bible with me? Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Sorry to the guys in the back. I added this to the card I gave you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. These are some of my favorites, and you're going to love them. And if you don't love them, love them. That was just your opportunity to change sides. I don't care what denomination you are. I don't care what background you are. If you have put your confidence in Jesus Christ, you should be able to really quickly come to the conclusion whether I'm sent or not.
Amen.
And if I'm sent to bring God's word to you, you're responsible to look past my suit, my style, my accent, or anything that would stop you from receiving God to say, I didn't receive what you said because of your messenger. The Bible says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. So if I challenge anything of your background, of your theology, you know what I say? Awesome. Isn't it fun to come to the conclusion so I can know for sure that I know this is what God is saying? I want to know for sure what God is saying to me. I want to have for sure what God has given me. And I want to be for sure who God said I can be. Anybody else with me?
Amen.
So sometimes you have to get challenged in your theology to be who you're supposed to be. And I'll give you an example. Gideon, the angel of the Lord said, you mighty man of valor. And he said, no, let me tell you my theology. I believe in God. I know we're God's people, but my tribe is the weakest tribe, and my family is the weakest family in the weakest tribe, and I'm the weakest of my families. What I'm trying to tell you is it whittles down to I'm the weakest of the weak, and you're coming with a word saying I am bold and courageous, and I'm trying to tell you that's not my reality. But I love it how God didn't budge. God didn't get into a counseling session. Oh. But you know what God said? You will deliver your people. Go in this might. What might was he saying? Because obviously, Gideon said, I don't have any. The might that I want you to go in is the might of what I say. I want you to be full of what I say and not full of what you're thinking. And if you will move in that, it's enough to deliver your people. Some of us are moving in our own strength, trying to deliver our families, only to find out that, man, we're weak. And God is saying, go in this might of my word. The Bible says, whoever receives the word of God, to them he gives power to become sons of God. Yeah. If there's no power to this faith thing, then it's tradition, and it's not really what God had intended for us. If your faith has led you to a place of serving through tradition only, and no power, no manifestation, no authority, I'm telling you, that's not the kingdom that God sent. There must be power in God's kingdom. That's why he said it straight. He said, listen, anybody who is going to try to spoil a strong man's house and take his goods, you must first be able to bind the strong man. If you can't overcome the strong man, you're not going to walk through his house and take his stuff. Trust me, if somebody wants to come in my house and take my stuff, they better take me out first. Because if I'm up in there and they're taking my stuff, listen, I've already had visions that if somebody broke in, came up my stairs, we're going down together. We're going back down those stairs together. I'm not even going to try to walk down the stairs. I'm not going to walk. I'm flying down the stairs with you. And hopefully if I'm on top, you're going to cushion my landing. But my point is, when your faith gets to the point where there's no power, that's not faithful. So don't try to act like it is. So what we'll end up doing is say, yes, I'm faithful. I did this and I did this and I keep following this traditions. And every time on this day, I do this and this. And yeah, but what's come of it? Show me some results. I want to see some results. I want to see some fruit. God is the vine. Jesus said, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. If you want to give on the earth the Father any glory, bear some fruit of the life of me. And the fruit isn't the tradition of your resume. Well, I did this and I did. No, 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 no. Bear some fruit. First John 5:4. As soon as they, I'm just waiting for them. That's why I just keep filling it with other stuff. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. That's good news to me. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So let me explain that. Whatever is born from heaven, from God, if it's born from God and it comes to this earth, it overcomes anything and everything in its way that stops it from being what it was sent to be. If God sends joy to the earth and it was born from Him in heaven, you can try to send oppression and depression and poverty. You can send mean people, a barking dog. But it has no power over that joy. And that joy cannot just be free in itself, but it can overcome. It can travel and overcome things to be moved out of the way. Why? Because it's born from God, and it is spiritual, and it's the same essence that God said, let there be light, and there was light. When He sends a word of that there is joy, it has the same power to be what it's called to be, regardless of any resistance. Matter of fact, if you've been around this church long enough, you'll know how we measure strength. How do you measure strength? Resistance. That's why when they go to the Olympics and they want to see who the strongest man is, they just add more resistance to the bar. And he puts it on his shoulders, and you know the look. Ah! And when he finishes it, he drops it and acts like, what? No man can handle this. What he's saying is, go ahead and throw on more resistance, but there's something in me stronger than the resistance. That's how you measure strength. But isn't it amazing how the children of God spend so much time talking about the resistance? And the resistance is the thing that God sent things born of above to deal with. And if I get full of what's born from above, I'll spend less time talking about the resistance and more time talking about what was born from above and what is now in me. You know, it has to be more than a bumper sticker. Greater is He than is in me than he who is in the world. That's a nice bumper sticker, but the devil knows if you believe it. You know, at church we say it, greater is He who is in me. And then on Monday we meet the devil and we say, oh, no, mercy, mercy, devil. If it's born from God and it's in you, then you're the vessel that's supposed to be the feet for that thing to travel. You're supposed to be the mouth for that thing to be out. And God sometimes will go silent on you when you run into a problem and you're looking at it. Oh, God, do something. Oh, God, do something. And He's saying, it's done. What do you say about it? What are you going to do? Why are you calling out to me, Moses? What did I give you? Are you full of anything? Use it. Do you know how to use your faith? His disciples wanted to know how to use their faith, and they said, Jesus, teach us faith. Teach us faith. And you know what Jesus said? First thing, He said, have faith in God. Or, another translation, the God kind of faith. How does God have faith? Did you know the Bible says by faith God spoke the world into existence? So the next thing that Jesus said to them was, have faith in God, or the God kind of faith, if you would say to the mountain. If you don't open your mouth, oh God, make the mountain go away. Oh God, make the mountain go away. Oh God, make the mountain go away. What you're still believing is the power and ability is still way up there. And what you're suggesting, it's not here in me. And it's only up there with you, so you need to do something from up there. And God said, I did something up here, and I sent my son. I sent the blood. And I sent my spirit and my word to you so that you can walk as children of God like he did when he was on the planet. There's nothing Jesus did that's impossible for us to do. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. Follow me. Greater things than I have done are you going to do. So we can't let the church, the body of Christ, and our faith walk become just this traditional thing, because I'm telling you, my kids, you saw my kid on the drums over there, they challenge me if it's something's not true. Well, Dad, why we always do that? Ain't nothing coming from it. Dad, why we go to church every Sunday? You and Mom cuss at each other every day. Dad, why are we doing this? We still broke. Dad, why are we doing this? We're always mad. Why are we? If it don't work, our kids know it. And they're asking us to be authentic and show me something that's worth me giving my whole life to. Give me something that's worth dying to an old life to come into. If there's no power, I'm going to seek some. Verse 5 says, who is he that overcometh the world, but he full of faith? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Because that's the starting of faith. I believe that something born of heaven has come to the earth. And the first, there's nothing else that I can get that's born of heaven if I don't accept that Jesus was born of heaven. There's no other name given that we can have salvation or be saved. So if I reject what heaven sent to overcome the world, my challenge of becoming an overcomer is seemingly impossible, because I now have to work with human strength only. The wisdom of man, which some of us have jumped way into. We believe that hopefully there's going to be a technology, and if you put me on ice, maybe in 100 years you can bring me back alive and you'll have made me a god. But my confidence is this: absent from the body, present with the Lord. Why is that my confidence? Because he said, that's him. I believe what heaven has sent. And now Jesus, who is seated high above all things, the Bible says even above the heavens, which we could get into a story on that one. But if I believe that he was sent and he came and he died and resurrected and ascended and sent back his spirit, and that he speaks from the mercy seat, and whatever he speaks, if I have faith to believe it and receive it, nothing can stop it. How much time would I spend in this relationship? How much time would I want him to speak to me? How much room would I make for him to be my portion for the day? So we can say we have faith, but we're living a life, I don't care what you have to say, I don't really care right now because I'm already saved, all's good, let's just do this thing. And we keep finding ourselves being overcome when we should be overcomers. And then when we get into the trouble, we'll say, God, why did you let this happen? And God is seated on the throne. And he has already declared, it's already finished and it's already recorded. And I already gave it to you. Why are you crying out to me? Faithful. We must first believe that Jesus died as the Son of God. Amen. Virgin birth. Virgin birth. Jesus was born of a virgin. Why? Because he was the seed of God. That's because he was born of God. Do you believe that? Yeah. Do you really believe that? Yeah. Do you believe that he was born of God and that he came, and when he died on the cross, that was God's giving or blessing, that the blood of his son, the unblemished blood of God himself, had the power to forgive all sin. And for whosoever would receive it, their sins would not be remembered anymore. If I receive that, then what that means is now I have access back with God. I told you before that Jesus, when he took our sin and wore it on the cross, and you know, when we get to Easter and we start talking about the different stories of his crucifixion. And Jesus there on the cross, and he cries out, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" Everybody remember that? Yeah. It's because he was wearing all of humanity's sin at that time. And it was the first time he had ever experienced separation from himself to his Father. First time he ever felt it. And so he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" Because God in his own word, in his own righteousness, had already set up that you can't mix his righteousness with sin. So he had to answer sin to come back into relationship with man. And Jesus took it on, and the Father had to turn his back to him. He went through some things for you and me. But if we don't believe that, it doesn't any good for us. That's amazing that he loved the whole world, but people in this world will go to hell. Not because they have to, but because they don't accept what God gave to save them. It requires faith. Now, if I believe that he died and that my sins are forgiven because his blood was born of God, and that he was raised from the dead, meaning he showed that he had the power of anything on this earth. Give me your strongest adversary to anything that God would say. And they said, "Okay, we're going to put you in the ring with death. We think death is our Goliath. Death can beat you because no man can get away from death." And Jesus said, "Okay, I'll tell you what you do. Put death in me in a tomb for 3 days and we'll see which one walks out. Put me and death in a locked room for 3 days, and whoever comes out should be God."
Amen.
It's a showdown. Because what he was saying, if your faith is just a religious traditional thing, it won't get you to open doors of dead things to come alive. And if it can only do what humans can do, why are we looking up calling to a God up there? So whatever is born of heaven can overcome anything in the world, and Jesus wasn't afraid of it. Give us your best shot. Give us your best shot. Give us your best shot. Why? Because when you have an unstoppable object meet an immovable object, and they come together, what happens? Unstoppable and immovable, what happens? One of them's a liar. Because you can't have unstoppable and unmovable meat. One's going to stop or one's going to move. And so God is not worried about those things that say they're unmovable in your life. Because God says, "Are you full of me? I'm unstoppable. And I'm okay with showdowns. I don't mind showdowns. Put me in you and my money's on us. Put me and you, my money's on us." When you have faith, you're not hoping that something's going to happen that you're just believing for. Can I give you an example? I need a job. And so I'm just going to believe hard enough that I'm going to get a job. Okay. Lord, I'm believing I'm going to get a job. I'm just believing I'm going to get a job. I'm believing I'm going to get a job. I'm believing God. Where did that come from? Just because you believe in something doesn't make it faith. Is that born of heaven? Is the job born of heaven?
No.
What you need is for God to speak to you and to believe that. I'll give you an example. Now, if God wakes me up in the night, tells me to write down in my journal, "Tomorrow you'll get a job," I'm getting a job tomorrow.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
If he doesn't wake me up in the night, I have to learn how to petition him. Do you know how to petition God? Let me show you how to petition God. We have people put petitions forward to our government and government agencies. I met with the mayor the other day, and they were talking about they've received a lot of petitions, and they're going through the petitions to decide which ones they can grant and which ones they can't. Because there's a lot of petitions. Jesus told us, this is how you petition me. If I have ever said it, or it's already been recorded, you can, by faith, because you believe it, you heard my report, you believe it, you can send a petition, and you have to get that thing. Why? Because it wasn't birthed down there. You petitioned what's already there. And your faith gives you the keys to the kingdom that you can have whatsoever you say because God already said it. So if I can find anywhere in Scripture that God gave me the job, then I can petition based on what He said and get the job. Because then my faith is born from what He has said, not my faith down here saying, okay, I'm just going to believe hard enough and a job's going to come. I'm going to believe for a spouse. Oh, don't let me get in this one. I've been tough on the wannabes. Ladies, I'm going to give you 5 keys to know if he's the one. Can I give you 5 keys to know if he's the one? Marriage was born from God. God made marriage first. So, as long as your faith is in God's marriage, it can overcome anything. Okay? If it's not born of God, it can only overcome what you can overcome within your own strength. That's why marriages fail. If it's born of God, it can overcome anything. So the first marriage by faith was Adam and Eve. But you had Adam first. So ladies, this is your 5 keys. And if you're single, write them down in ink so the devil doesn't erase it. Number 1, God took this man all by himself alone with no woman. Didn't even talk about women with him. And God put him in the Garden of Eden, which represented the place of God's presence. God was present. The Bible said he walked in the cool of the day in the garden and spoke with him. So it was God's presence. If he's not in God's presence when you find him, you already are for sure can stop it. If he doesn't go into God's presence without you, he ain't the one. If he doesn't go into God's presence without you, now don't try to find one and bring him in to God's presence. He has to be in God's presence. Number 2, he had a job. God said, I'm putting you here, tend the garden. He had responsibilities. He had things he was about and doing. He was about it in God's presence, and he was working. If he ain't in God's presence and he ain't working, it doesn't make him a horrible human being. It just means he ain't your husband yet. And if he ain't your husband, why are you dating him? That's not the keys. That's number 3. He had the ability to cultivate or make things fruitful. Your job is to make the garden fruitful and multiply. I want it to expand. If you look at their life and they don't know how to cultivate and nothing is growing and nothing is coming out of it, they haven't learned how to cultivate yet. Why are you trying to link up with someone who can't cultivate? This is just marriage counseling 101. But it's funny. Yeah, but he said he has a big dream and one day, if he ain't in it, if he ain't moving in it, that's 3. You ready for 4? Yep. He was a protector. I give you dominion. And if anything comes into this to take away from this, you take authority. I give you dominion. Has to be a protector, meaning he has to know how to use his strength not to hurt those in the garden, but to protect it. If he's hurtful with his mouth or his fist that's not used to defend, he ain't the one. Number five. You guys are still happy I'm at five. Number five. God gave him his word and gave him a command. And he had the word in him. He had the word of God. God never gave the command to not eat the tree of good and evil to Eve. He gave it to Adam. The word was in Adam. He had given God, him the word. If he don't know the word, how is he going to be the priest of your home? How is he going to be the prophet over your house? How is he going to speak the blessing of God to you? Now, after these five things were settled, do you know what God said? He said, it's not good for this man to be alone.
That's right.
Meaning, it was good for him to be alone until these five things got established. That's God's doing, not my doing. Why are you mad at me? It's not good for this man. Which man? The one in my presence, the one with a job, the one that can cultivate, the one that protects, and the one that has my word. Now for him, it's good because now his seed, if he shares it, we're going to get more of him. Some of you ladies were afraid to write in front of your husbands. Just to take big notes. Just go ahead. Trust me. My wife will text it to me if I. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So I'm going to ask you again, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
Then in somewhere in that relationship, because it's born of God, whatever's born of God can overcome anything in the world. So there's something in this relationship now that of your believing, of your faith, that now qualifies you as an overcomer. You're qualified to have substance that can overcome anything in this world. But it's somehow through this relationship. So tell me what it is about your belief in Jesus that gives you power to become an overcomer of anything in this world. Well, I'm just believing hard enough. And nothing's happening. Amen. Nothing happening. Isn't that crazy? I'm believing. Okay, you're Jesus. And it's quiet. If I believe that Jesus is born of God, died for my sins, beat death, ascended to heaven, and is seated there right now, then my daily wake-up is looking for him to give me something born of heaven to deal with my situation. Yeah. And when he gives it to me, I'm going to use it like Moses had to use his rod to part the sea. Whatever you give me, I'm going to use to overcome the unstoppable or immovable things that are lying to me. Because the Bible says you can't have something disagree with God and it's not a liar. If it disagrees with God, it's a liar. Even if it doesn't mean to lie, it's lying. That means me. If I disagree with God, I'm lying. So being full of faith is more than just saying, I believe in Jesus. Did you know when I traveled to 20 countries and studied Islam and Arabic countries, and did you know they believe in Jesus? There's no doubt that Jesus was born a man of God. It's even written in their book. You've heard me say it before. They believe that. Did you know that when you go, we're going to go to the Holy Land. Raise your hand if you're coming with me in November. We'll be there. We'll send you a postcard. The Jews, they believe that Jesus was a great man of God. The one problem with Islam and the Jews is neither of them will confess that he's born of God.
That's right.
Which is the whole power to be an overcomer. If I don't believe that, I have nothing in my possession to overcome this world. So therefore, YOLO. Might as well just go for it, swing by the chandeliers, for tomorrow we die. Might as well just do it. If you're going to do it, do it. I remember I heard a message that said, if you're going to sin, sin good. And I was in the middle of sin at the time, and I said, Okay. But it's strange how sinning good overcomes you. I found myself overcame. And I couldn't get myself out. All right, can I get to some more scriptures? All the guys in here are checking the classified ads for jobs right now. James chapter 2. Kathy, I think I heard you say it. Starting at verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man says that he has faith and has not works? Can faith save him? This is a question posed to us by an apostle, the apostle James. This apostle James became an apostle and a believer after the resurrection of Christ, for this was the brother of Jesus who didn't really believe in him. Like, why do you think you're so special? But when he resurrected, he said, my brother's kind of a big deal. And James asked this question, what does it profit? So I'm thinking for myself, what does it profit me to say, I have faith in Jesus, but I have nothing in action of what I say I have faith in? If I say I have faith that God said I should be rich, he became poor. Why? Some of you are afraid to say that. Why are you afraid to say that? Because you don't want to be evil. But the Bible tells us this word was born and recorded in heaven and sent here, and you're afraid to use it because you don't want to be bad, because you'd rather stay in the tradition of being a good person than the power of faith. So what good is it to say you have faith, but you won't operate in what you say you have faith in? Why would I say, I believe you, Jesus, and then do a Peter on him, say, no, you can't go to the, no, you're not going to go to the cross, I'm not going to let you die. And Jesus said, get behind me. You're not listening to me, I'm leading. And if you will follow me, I'll bring you to salvation. So why would I say that I have faith in Jesus, but I don't follow him?
That's right.
Will my faith, what would it say? Will my faith save me? If I say I have faith in Jesus, who's seated high because he resurrected from the dead, put his blood to forgive me of my sins, but now that he's on the mercy seat, when he says something, I won't do it. Do I really believe the blood of Jesus has cleansed me? How can I believe that his word concerning his blood, which I didn't see, I wasn't there. Were you there at the cross? I wasn't there at the cross. I believe it based on his word. How can I believe that his blood has forgiven me of my sins, but I don't believe him, I'm supposed to forgive this person I'm upset with? Because I'm making faith a tradition rather than the power of God. So this is a great question. Are you faithful? Because the minute you confess it, there should be some working of it then. There should be some movement in it. There should be some speaking in it. There should be some expectation in it. There should be some joy with this thing. There should be some peace. There should be some good words. The Bible says when you follow after God, you're going to start speaking different. You don't speak the old thing anymore. So I'm going to connect this to baptism in a minute. What does it profit me if I say I have faith, but I don't have works? And someone said, grace. And everybody said, amen, because there's nothing wrong with grace. But did you know the only way to touch grace is by faith?
That's right.
That's why the world can't touch the blood of Jesus, even though he gave it to them, without faith. It's given by the grace of God to everybody, but without faith, you can't touch it. You can't access it. And that goes for everything in the kingdom. Without faith, you can't have what God gave you by grace. You should see the looks. Like I wish I could just one by one bring you up here and just look. Wow. They're looking at me some kind of way. Verse 15. This is a great message, by the way. Not my message. This is a great message. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute, so this just gives us an example. So we see a brother or sister, right? Jay, would you come up here? This is my brother. Jay, would you sit right there? Yeah, and by the way, he's single with five. Single with five. Oh! 10. He's going to get me later. So my brother here hasn't eaten for 3 days. I just got out of Burger King. Full. And I bump into him. Hey, Jay. And he's hungry. And I look at him and I say, oh, man, you are hungry. Tell you what, I have faith in God. So here's what I'm going to do for you. Lord, I'm believing with him that you're going to bless him today. All right. See you, brother. I'm going back to Starbucks because that burger's making me sleepy. What good did my faith do to him? Can I call that faith?
No.
It's so easy to see in this situation that if I believe that I have something to contribute and I hold it back, then there's a problem in the relationship. Is there a problem in this relationship? If I leave my brother hungry? I think this might have been that seed, brother. This might have been that seed. So if I can see that quite naturally, that my faith didn't help that situation by just simply saying, I'm believing for the best for you. It did no good. We have to know how to get the faith into movement. I need to know how to walk in this faith. I need to know how to talk. I need to know how to do. I need to know, like Adam, how to work it and cultivate it. So if I see my brother naked or destitute of daily food, verse 16, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled. Go be warm and filled. God is so good. But you give him nothing of his needs to the body, what does it profit? And we all can understand that because from a natural perspective, that's why Jesus would speak to us in parables, give us an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He would put it in a way it's like, okay, you'll understand this. If you got a guy walking down the street, but he's trying to show you how it really is in heaven. He's trying to get you to understand, this is how it works with God. How can you then, if you can see naturally and you would confess that wasn't right, how can you go around full of faith and see the needs in which it's meant to be used for, the reason why I died and sent it, say you have faith, but never apply it towards the things that it's meant to be applied towards? Is that faithful? Next verse. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Some of you are going to ask, why does someone else put money up there? It's a faith thing. I can show you in the scriptures about it. Should I detour and show you? Real fast? Should I show you? Okay. Very good. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, verse 6-7. I was supposed, my wife reminded me, you said you were going to explain that and you never did. I've never asked ever for this, ever. I would never ask for that, never. You can't. Check one, check two, I'm back. Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for a long time. Let him that is taught the word, when it says the word, it means whatever is born of heaven. If it came from God and it's being communicated to you, and you recognize by faith, what's coming out of that person was sent to me by God, and they're giving it to me, then part of my faith has a response. What's the response? It says, let him that is taught in the word, so somebody that communicates the mysteries of heaven to me so that I can be an overcomer, it says that let him that teaches in all good things, so I communicate all good things of heaven, go back. Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. What's it saying? Put it in the Amplified, and I'll show you what it's saying. Let him that brings the word of God to you. I'll give you another example of it. Do you remember the great man Elijah? The great man Elijah was sent from God. And he went to a place, and when he went there, there was a famine in the land. There was a widow woman there, right? There was a widow woman who was poor and desolate. But God said, I'm sending you to that woman. Go talk to her. Go communicate with her. So Elijah went up and communicated with her. He said, hey, praise the Lord. That's modern. I don't know if he said it like I'm saying it. Praise the Lord, little lady. Depending what era you're in, you know. I'm a little hungry. Could you make something to eat? She said, listen, I ain't got enough for you. I got enough for me and for my kid. Can't you see this famine? I got enough for me, for my boy, for one more meal, and then we're going to die. And Elijah says, very good, very good. But God sent me to you. And if God sent me to you, he's giving me something to give you that's born of heaven, so you won't die.
Amen. Amen.
And if you believe that, make me a cake. That's what he said. And all the neighbors said, poor little widow woman getting taken advantage of by that prophet, that Christian. That's why people hate TV evangelists. If you send in $19, you're going to get 19 blessings. You know, I'm living like the devil, but I got 19 bucks. I mean, oh, that, I got faith in this guy. Let him who receives instructions in the word of God, born of heaven, the mouth of God. God gives words. Jesus gives words to sent ones. Let them that receive it share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. That means if I believe I'm receiving it from God through somebody, there's no way I'm going to say, well, just God bless you. I'm going to give of my substance. You gave of godly substance. I'm going to give earthly substance. I'm going to connect my natural to supernatural. Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. Matthew chapter 10. And he sent them with this condition. Oh, no, you can't bring any money. Oh, you can't even bring extra clothes. Wherever you go, whoever is worthy and will receive you, they'll take care of you. And if they take care of you, I want you to leave your peace on their home so that when you leave, the blessing stays. If they don't, I want you to take your peace with you and keep walking. Dust those shoes off and get down the road. So what you're seeing is spontaneous as an individual, knowing what God said, and hearing a word and saying, I believe that what I'm hearing is coming from God and has been sent to me, it becomes a joyful act to participate in the word by your faith. Now, you don't have to do that to get blessed. And if you don't come up there and put something up there, it does not mean you don't believe it. But for the individuals that do it, that's why they're doing it. Can everybody understand that? Did I explain that well enough? Can you buy a blessing? Can you buy salvation? Can you buy favor with the prophet? Well, I'm telling you, try it with your boss. See if you bring your boss a latte every day, if they don't start thinking about you when they think about promotion. I was just thinking about Morgan. I don't know what it is about her as they're drinking their latte. You ever heard the term, your gift will make room for you?
Yes. Yes. Right.
Maybe you've been thinking of the wrong gift.
Amen.
The Bible puts it like this. If you give a prophet a glass of cold water, you'll get a prophet's reward.
Amen.
That's the scripture. Let me tell you where you're the prophet. The Bible says if you're one of the children of God, if you're full of faith, then you have the blessing of Abraham. This is the blessing of Abraham. Whoever blesses you, I'll bless them. Oh, and on the other side, whoever curses you, I'll curse them. What if you're the prophet? What if you're the one, the Bible says, how beautiful the sound of the feet of those who bring the good news that comes from heaven. What if you're the one bringing the good news, and when you share it, and someone receives it, and is good to you for their joy for it, what does God say about that relationship? He says, I'll bless those who bless you. Not curse. What if there's people around you that are waiting to bless you when you start sharing what you're full of your faith? What if you're the prophet rather than, you know, the people in the suits up here? What if we're the prophets? Maybe the world hasn't started dealing with us how they need to because we've been holding in what we're full of. If I don't release it, whatever God said concerning it just stays inside me. Does it have the ability to grow? Yeah. Whatever is born of heaven can overcome anything in the world. But faith alone, saying I believe it and not walking in it, what is that? I believe, God, that I'm going to have you to supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. I don't believe in offering and tithe. Well, remember I said, give and it will be given unto you. I said, this is, if you believe what I said, then you have to put your petition. Your tithe and offering is your petition for what he said. You know, you need to know you're forgiven. I need to know I'm forgiven. Okay, what did I say about forgiveness? If you forgive, I'll be just to forgive you.
Yeah.
So my petition is, Lord, I forgive them because I know you forgive me.
Right. Amen.
I have something to give. I have a petition. That's my faith. That's faith. I got 5 minutes before those that are getting baptized need to come up here. So if you're getting baptized or planning on it, it's getting close. I want to explain to something about baptism. When you, sometimes we get this wrong. Watch this. That's not holy water. It's not holy water. The liquid in that tub is not holy water. Your faith in him and what he has done and what he has now commanded you changes what the water is. Because with the water itself, the water was born on the earth. But your relationship with the water, because you're getting baptized, because now this water can do what it couldn't do before.
Amen.
Because it's your faith. It's your faith.
Yeah.
If we put this in a hole with dirt on it, what comes up? Because it's not holy money. But the faith that brought it has the power to command that money. And what can you command it towards? Whatever he has said, you can command. So those of us that are going to get baptized, what we're doing is we believe that Jesus, this is our confession publicly, Jesus, born of God, came to the earth, died for my sins, forgives me of my sins, resurrected to heaven, where I'm going to meet him one day, and until then he has poured his spirit, or offers his spirit to me, which I, if I haven't received it, I will. And he speaks to me daily from his throne, because he is my only Lord. And when I go down in water, this is my public display that I am dying to the old life before I had faith. Before I had faith, before I came into the knowledge of Christ, everything about that old life is dead to me. And my whole new life, when they raise me up, nothing in my life is going backwards. Everything is going forward from that day forward. So that's why the Bible says when we were baptized into his death, your old man died. You're raised up in faith with your new man. Now, if you're raised up with your new man and then don't live forward by faith, what are you expecting? That the water was going to do something for you? I've had people want to get baptized 5-6 times because it just feels good. But God says, no, once you die to your old life, now you need to just learn how to live by faith. Now, if you sin, what do you need to do? Amen. The Bible said that you've been baptized and you need to be forgiven of your sins. He says, whoever is just and confesses his fault before God, he says, the blood of Jesus washes you from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. Yes. You don't have to get baptized again to be forgiven. Amen. Right. Why? Because you're in the new life of faith. And now you can access faith through this relationship right here. That sounds good. I'm trying to fit a lot into a little. But I might not see some of you again. So I'm going to leave you with one last scripture as the worship team comes forward. My last scripture, we're going to read it in the Amplified. It's one of your favorites. Don't worry, you're going to love it. If you haven't loved the rest of these, go back and start a new relationship. But I want to read Romans 1, 16 through 18 in the Amplified. And I want you, those of you that are going to get baptized, I want you to understand, and especially Trey, you are not getting baptized to enter into a tradition, even though there are traditions to faith. You're getting baptized because you believe everything God has said, and you're going to move forward believing him. That's what it means, okay? It doesn't mean you're not going to run into challenges and problems, but it means when you run into challenges and problems, you know who to call. Yeah. Amen. And when he speaks to you, he's going to tell you, move in what I say. Move in what I say, and the truth will make you free. The scripture reads like this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it's God's power working unto salvation for deliverance from eternal death. The power of God, his words, the gospel, what God said, it has the power to save me from death. And death was the Goliath that they tried to have fight Jesus. It's the thing people fear. So the greatest thing I could fear by my relationship with the word, the gospel, the words of God that are born from heaven, it gives me strength to not fear death. Matter of fact, when you really start walking in it, after a while, you start being betwixt, between the two. I kind of want to stay and help you and see my kids grow up, but I would sure love to wake up this morning present with the Lord. So then the question, rather than fear, it's based on I love you and I love you. It's a love situation, not a fear situation. Because the gospel should give us some courage to have things that are of God who can't be stopped. Man, I'm not afraid of death. Death is my, that's the bridge across. That's the entrance in. Now, I'm not going to rush there, but I'm not afraid of it. To everyone who believes, watch this. Who, raise your hand if you believe. Watch how this defines believe. With a personal trust, confident surrender, firm reliance. Raise your hand again if you believe. To the Jew first and also to the Greek, 17 and 18. For the gospel, for in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed. The righteousness of heaven through the gospel is revealed to me. What God calls righteous and true and good and living and just, he reveals it to me and to you. It ascribes, is revealed, both springing from faith, it comes in my belief in him, and leads to more faith. Did you know that when you start learning to walk, I walk by faith, that each step you take in faith gets more revealed about him, which gives you more faith? Sometimes some of us, I'm just in a dry place. Another way of saying that, I haven't been walking in faith and no new faith is being ascribed. No new faith is being aroused. Because I'm not walking in faith now. Because I'm waiting for God up there to do something rather than me to walk in what he's already done. It arouses to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith. We're going to move forward and live our lives by faith. I died to the life without faith to be resurrected to live the life of faith. And what does faith tell me? What does faith tell me today? Faith tells me this. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad. And when something comes and tries to resist what God said, one of them's a liar.
That's right.
Last verse, 18. Trey, would you come up here and anybody else is going to be baptized? Verse 18, let's read it together. Ready, read. For God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, in their wickedness, repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. Meaning, what's born of heaven, sent here to the earth. Now that Jesus is high and lifted up, he's already come. The Christ has already come. Now, when he gives us the things that pertain to life and godliness, if I refuse it or don't believe it, it shows my unrighteousness. For when God sends righteousness, I reject it. And it says it makes that righteousness inoperative. The Bible said Jesus could do no great miracles in his own hometown and country. Why? Because they didn't believe and receive him. But to all that believed and received, to them he gave power to be sons of God. I'm suggesting to you two gentlemen that today, before this congregation and before the congregation in heaven, this is the day the Lord has made. And we're all going to rejoice and be glad. The scripture says that even the angels in heaven rejoice when one person enters the kingdom. Meaning today is a special day. But it's not just a day where we're going to get wet. It's a day where we're going to move forward now based on the goodness of God, the power of God, the love of God, and the grace of God. And if we run into challenges, he is just to forgive us. This is an entrance into a whole new depth of relationship with God. And he is well pleased with our faith. Amen. So can we pray for him? Father, in the name of Jesus, these two men that have come forward, trusting in the gospel that you have sent, the truth born of heaven, that you are God alone and have sent the Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and by the power of resurrection have proven yourself to be the only God. And as you are high and lifted up, you have spoke to us and poured out your spirit to those who would receive, that we can walk forward believing you and trusting you, not in the tradition of man, but the power of God. We thank you. for their life moving forward in Jesus' name. Amen.